ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يقول الحق تعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وكذلكم يقول: يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. All praise and thanks are due to Allah. We praise and thank Him. We seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. We take refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and from the sinfulness of our actions. Whomever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whomever Allah misguides, none can guide. I bear witness that there is none worth worshiping but Allah alone, with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his servant and messenger. Allah reminds us in Surah Ali Imran, He says, O you who believe, have taqwa of your Lord with the taqwa that is due to Him. Have taqwa of Allah with the taqwa that is due to Him, and do not die except as Muslims, except in submission to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He also reminds us in Surah An-Nisa, He says, O people, have taqwa of your Lord who created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and dispersed from both of them many men and women. And have taqwa of Allah, through whom you ask one another and the wombs. Surely Allah is ever over you an observer. عن يعلى بن مرة رضي الله عنه قال أنه قال خرجنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ودعينا إلى طعام، فإذا حسين يلعب في الطريق، فأسرع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمام القوم، وأنا منه، أحب الله من أحب الحسن والحسين سبطاني من الأسباط. رواه البخاري في الأدب المفرد لا في صحيحه، وهو حديث حسن. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that Bukhari compiled but not in his sahih, in al-adab al-mufrad, and it's a Hassan hadith, so it's still authentic, on the authority of Ya'la ibn Murrah, may Allah be pleased with him. He says, one day we went out with the Nabi, with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, we were invited for a meal, for food. And as we were walking, the little grandson, the little boy, the grandson of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, al-Hussein, was in the road. And at that moment, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam sped up in front of all the Sahaba, sped up in front of the group, and he went to him. And he started playing with him. He would go to the right, and Hussein would go to the left. He'd go to the left and Hussein would go to the right. Just like that, in that way, he was playing with him until al-Hussein started to laugh, just like we might play with our own children, subhanAllah. And then eventually, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grabbed him. He's like, I won. And he put his blessed hand sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his chin and the other hand on his head. And then he hugged him, he embraced him, and he kissed him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he declared in front of the group, he said, Hussein is from me, this is his grandson, and I am from him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love whoever loves Al-Hassan wal-Hussein. Al-Hassan was his older brother. Both of them grandchildren of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we know that Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein are from Ahlul Bayt, are from the family of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which includes others, his wives most prominently, right? The mothers of the believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, including Khadija and Aisha and Safiya, all of them. It also includes his children and his uncle Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu and his cousin Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma and his son-in-law, the father of Al-Hassan al-Hussein, and also his cousin Ali ibn Abi Talib. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. They have a special status in Islam when they're believers, not disbelievers, and when they're righteous, of course, as well. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's family, these people who we just mentioned, are from the righteous believers of the family of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who have a special state and a special status. And in addition to that, after the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, he teaches us, he says that Abu Bakr and Umar are Sayyida Kuhuli Ahli al-Jannah, that they are the two chiefs of the kind of older people in Jannah, the older people of Jannah. He says in another narration, and in this one, subhanAllah, he's saying it to Ali ibn Abi Talib in one of the narrations, and he says, don't tell them. Don't tell them. He didn't want them to know during their lifetime that they had this special status in Jannah. In another narration, he says, Al-Hasan wal-Husaynu Sayyida Shababi Ahli al-Jannah. He says, Al-Hasan wal-Husayn are the chiefs of the youth of Jannah. Wa Fatimatu Sayyidatu Nisa'ihim. And Fatima is the chief of the woman. Except for, of course, with Abu Bakr and Umar in the narration, he says, except for, they're the chiefs of the people of Jannah, except for who? The messengers and the prophets, of course. And with Fatima, he says, except for, what is for? Maryam bintu Imran, radiallahu alayhi salam. And so, subhanAllah, you know, we've been reflecting upon Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and his victory during this time. Historically, the 10th of Muharram. Why are we fasting the 10th of Muharram and adding to it a day before or a day after? This was this past Tuesday. It's to commemorate and to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the victory he got over the tyrant Fir'aun and how the Red Sea parted and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him and his brother Harun alayhi salam, another messenger, and how he allowed also Bani Israel to escape. Similarly, we reflect upon the victory of Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhu. And I say victory because he died a martyr for standing, what? For justice, for what he believed was true and what he was supported in and what many of the Sahaba of his time also thought was he was on the right, radiallahu anhu. Now, we don't have enough time to go into the details of it. And I suggest if you haven't heard of this before, research it. We have many, subhanAllah, lengthy lectures, even an epic. Dr. Yasir Qadi has a very nice one from a few years ago. There are a lot of lectures that you can find online to really dig deep into it, or even reading about how Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah, about how us as Muslims, the Sunni Muslims, how we understood these historical events and one of the greatest tragedies that happened in Islamic history. But if we just choose a few of them, inshallah, we just hint at some broad brushstrokes, some high-level learnings from this tragedy that occurred, you know, from last Tuesday, about 1380 years ago, subhanAllah, in terms of the Hijri calendar. We know that Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu, he was alive during a tumultuous political time. And he was living during a time where there was going to be a transfer of political power, maybe similar to an election, but they didn't happen the same way back then, where power was going to be transferred from one person to the other. And he had strong beliefs radiallahu anhu against that transfer of power. And he had promises of support from Kufa. He was in Mecca at the time. And so he traveled to Kufa in Iraq. And on his way there, many events would unfold. The treachery, subhanAllah, of the tens of thousands who had promised him, we're going to support you, O grandson of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just like how we see, subhanAllah, around us today, our Muslim brothers and sisters being slaughtered. And there might be false promises of support, or not even that, from neighboring Muslim
countries, from powerful political states with military power, with economic power, with political power, but who are leaving our brothers and sisters what? To suffer. And he, radiallahu anhu, on his way there while traveling with women and children, with his family, and with people from the men of his family and supporters from him, we see that the thousands that were supporting him, what happened? They came and they were picked off, divide and conquer. A classic, subhanAllah, playbook in tyranny. One after one, tribe leader after tribe leader, they were bribed, they were threatened, they were convinced, until he was 70 people in the desert of Karbala in Iraq, on his way to Kufa. They couldn't go any further against 4,000, around 4,000, subhanAllah, who were against him. And we know, radiallahu anhu, that his water and resources were cut off for him and his group, just like the water and resources are cut off in so many places. Like they're cut off in Gaza, subhanAllah. Like when Kashmir, we know it's still an instable, volatile political situation, but we know what happened just a few years ago, where what? Electricity is cut off, where internet is cut off, where communications are cut off. A similar thing happened to him. And ultimately, he and the male members of his family would be slaughtered, would be massacred, radiallahu anhu, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept his shahada and those who were amongst him. And we know that after his death, his body was mutilated and his dead body was played with, subhanAllah, by evil perpetrators of this crime, where the sahaba would comment, you know, I swear I saw this same face, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to kiss it, and here you are playing with it. What a disgusting thing. And subhanAllah, it continues this day, where we see Palestinian brothers and sisters, what? And when the foreign occupiers come in, they hold up their bodies and they try to take pictures, just like someone who's hunting an animal. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And so history repeats itself, and we're doomed to repeat it if we don't, subhanAllah, we don't study our history and we don't derive lessons and benefits from it. We're now, subhanAllah, in an uncertain time. We're now, subhanAllah, seeing a potential rise of political violence. We're seeing a deterioration and a calling into question about the physical and mental wellness and health of political leaders. We're experiencing, subhanAllah, economic challenges, groceries, 3 times the price just from a few years ago. People struggling just to have housing, just to pay rent, just to pay their mortgages, just to keep their jobs. And even this morning, you might have heard about the global computer outage. Because of a technical thing, subhanAllah, thousands of planes grounded, computer systems, doctors not able to chart using their tablets anymore, but using pen and paper, subhanAllah. And during these times, we have to remember what happened in the past when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was also being chased by the greatest tyrant, the worst human being created, Fir'aun. And he came across what? A body of water. How are you going to cross that? But he had trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he knew that what he was doing was right, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala parted the Red Sea and gave him victory and drowned Fir'aun and his evil troops. And similarly, Al-Husayn, and his victory was different, right? He didn't gain any political power, he didn't gain this or that, but he died a martyr, and he died in dignity, and he died being steadfast, and he died with full bravery, subhanAllah. And similarly, these days, subhanAllah, the onslaught continues against our Muslim brothers and sisters abroad. And even, we don't know what would happen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our community, but we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen with the election in a few months. We don't know who's going to be president. We don't know what legislation is going to be put into practice to target our community unjustly. And so we have to have a trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to take these lessons of standing up for justice, standing up for what's right. What can I do? We might be asking. SubhanAllah, do you know during the shadow bans of social media applications and platforms, there were Muslims in tech who are still doing it. Whether they're, subhanAllah, software engineers or in management or in marketing or in various roles who fought against that internally in big tech companies, subhanAllah. They said, you know what, I'm in this position of power, of leadership, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that when there's a post talking about justice, talking about the truth, that I can, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, have an influence and not let this unjust censorship take place. Muslims in law helping to fight against legislation, against unjust targeting of Muslims in our community, subhanAllah. Muslims in journalism and media, we've been seeing it so often that the headlines will be biased. They'll say, a person in Gaza died alone. That's it. Who did it? Who's the one who killed this person? Who's the one who caused this crime against humanity? No mention. And emphasizing, no, we have to be open and transparent and honest. And so they're using their role, subhanAllah. Muslims in medicine, we know about the, subhanAllah, the medical trips to Gaza, which are continuing. We know that they use their expertise and their knowledge. Why? Because they said, I want to make a difference. Muslims on social media, subhanAllah, just everyday people, no one without any of these degrees or anything, but just saying, you know what, I'm going to share, I'm going to post, I'm going to do something. And now other people who I knew from high school, who I knew from college, subhanAllah, now they're changing their views about this. Every single one of us has a role. And to the youth, I want to end with the youth, subhanAllah, in the masjid today, thinking, what can I do? So two things. One is, think of the future. Think, what can I do in the future so I can have a role, so I can have an education, so I can have an influence to help the Muslim ummah? Why? So I can strengthen the Muslim ummah. Why? So I can stand up for justice, because it's my duty. But even now, as you're young, you can make a difference. And I want to recall something that happened to me personally. SubhanAllah, on September 11th, 2001, I was a middle schooler at the time. And where I lived was a majority Zionist public school, subhanAllah. The views were very open and very clear. And I remember when class stopped and everyone started to turn on the television and see the violent terrorist act, subhanAllah, that killed over 3,000 people. And as we watched in horror, the media put up a false video from Palestine. And they said, oh, the Palestinians are dancing and rejoicing. And we know later this was false. They took it from another thing where the occupation troops had given them more, you know, some land back, and they were celebrating. So it was false. But anyways, that was the scene there. And I remember, this was that very morning, I remember raising my hand. I was maybe the only Muslim, or one of two Muslims maybe in my classroom, very few Muslims, subhanAllah. And I remember my voice shaking, and I'm saying this to the youth. I remember my voice was literally shaking. My chest was so tight. I was so afraid. I was so afraid to speak out. But I raised my hand and I said, you don't know what those people in Palestine went through. And I started to talk about their lives. Just briefly, the checkpoints, the killings, the injustice. And I said, so don't judge their celebration right now, and don't see it as supporting the death of innocent people. But I just tried to give a little bit of context. And that was so hard for me to say. So hard. I had to muster up every ounce of courage in my body to do that. But I said, you know what? I have to say something. I can't see this false thing being said right now in this classroom. Every single one of us, subhanAllah, has a role. Every single one of us has a role in standing up for justice. Just like Sayyidina Musa and Sayyidina Harun alayhim as-salam did. And just like Al-Husayn, the grandson of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did. And just as we humanized Al-Husayn in the beginning of the khutbah with that beautiful story of him playing with his grandfather, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to humanize and we have to share the stories of our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Sudan, in East Turkestan, in India, all over the world, and here locally as well. This is our duty as Muslims, subhanAllah, and every single one of us has a role in that. We saw the massacre just a few days of Al-Mawasi and Nusayrat in Gaza, and how people said, just a few days ago, they said, maybe this is the most horrific massacre since October 7th, subhanAllah. So it's continuing in every single one of us. Again, let us not forget our history. The Muslims have gone through tumultuous times, uncertain times, precarious times in the past, and we will go through this in the future. Let us stay steadfast, rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not forget, no matter our role, to stand up with what's right in whatever capacity we can, to whatever degree we can. الحمد لله رب العالمين قيوم السماوات والأراضين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الصادق الأمين عباد الله اتقوا الله ويعلمكم الله والله بكل شيء عليم يقول الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل الجهاد من قال كلمة الحق كلمة حق عند سلطان جائر. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين مدبر الخلائق أجمعين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الصادق الأمين. عباد الله اتقوا الله ويعلمكم الله والله بكل شيء عليم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وارض اللهم عن أبي بكر الصديق وعمر بن الخطاب الفاروق وعثمان بن عفان ذي النورين وعلي بن أبي طالب المرتضى وحمزة أسد الله والعباس وولده، وعن الصحابة أجمعين وعن التابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وللمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي كلمتي الحق والدين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين وفي غزة وإخواننا المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. اللهم أنت أعلم بأحوالهم فانصرهم وكن في عونهم وثبت أقدامهم وفرج عنهم ونفس كربهم وفك أسرهم ودمر أعداءهم أعداء الدين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم بارك لنا واحفظنا يا أرحم الراحمين، برحمتك نستغيث. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. وأقم الصلاة.
Brothers and sisters, please move forward as much as possible to create enough space to fit everyone into the musalla, inshallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.